Good morning, and thank you very much. This is the title of my talk, Cinderella Agroforestry Systems. I can see that there is some surprise in the faces of many of you. What exactly is Cinderella got to do with agroforestry? Well, that's what I'm going to try to explain. The term Cinderella, I think everybody knows here, everybody here knows. It's a European folktale embodying a myth element of anyway, it's a folktale. Thank you. And it has, I understand it has been common in European parlance in various languages. And it became immortalized by the movie of that by that name by Walt Disney Productions, which everybody I hope knows about. By analogy, it also refers to an individual, and in this case, a sort of set of activities whose attributes were unrecognized, and it achieves success after a relative period of obscurity. So, given a chance, these downtrodden, hidden talents just come out and get recognized. That's what is implied by the term Cinderella in this context. So this term has been, I'm trying to apply this to the agroforestry systems, and this is not only, this is not the first time it has been used. My colleague Roger Leakey, they have coined this term for Cinderella agroforestry species about 20 years ago, as Mick O'Neill, my friend and colleague, knows. But here, I refer to this, I use this term to refer to forgotten or downtrodden agroforestry systems, AFS in short, and it can also be applied, I think, to other farming systems. So, the point is that when recognized, improved, and promoted, these could become exceptionally successful and could be used in the design of improved agroforestry systems. Now, going back to why I'm talking about this thing, it's a reality that I have 45 plus years in this business of agroforestry. Even before agroforestry became recognized as a term in scientific parlance and development circles and all that, with the establishment of the World Agroforestry Center in 1978. I was one of its founders, and I worked there, and Dr. O'Neill joined that center after I left. Anyhow, so I can say a little bit of, if I may say, authority, confidence, how this whole thing develops. Now, when we started this agroforestry things, a lot of emphasis was given to indigenous systems that people have been following for long periods of time that were not recognized in conventional development of agriculture and forestry. Because agriculture and forestry developed in modern developments in the past 50 years or so with the injection of science and all that. And they followed certain pathways, and some of these indigenous systems, traditional systems that probably have been successful and have been in existence for long periods of time, were not recognized. So, during the early stages of ICRAF, the World Agroforestry Center, we had a major project inventorying the agroforestry systems in different parts of the world. I was the director of that program, and we had described examples of various indigenous agroforestry systems according to some uniform patterns of presenting their characteristics, attributes, functions, structure, and all those things. They are all documented very well. These sort of agroforestry systems can be found all over the world, and they are epitome of ecological sustainability and social acceptability. The only problem is that most of them, I would say, have not been studied scientifically, and therefore they are seldom, their values are seldom recognized and even approved. And the values are not quantified because they have not been studied scientifically. And therefore, they are probably because of that, they are not recognized. But they are all important for the people who practice them, who have been practicing these systems since time immemorial. So, More than that, oftentimes this sort of indigenous systems have been criticized and even denigrated in official and technical discussions for lack of the what would become the standard of such development activities, the green revolution type of management practices and modern systems and all that. So I have personal experience of participating in many agroforestry conferences around the world. And people, when somebody tries to say something about some indigenous system that they are familiar with, the powers that be sort of shout them down, they don't accept those things because those data, those information is not presented in scientifically quantifiable and acceptable terms and all that. And they would also, okay, what's the recommendation, what's the line spacing for this thing, and what's the fertilizer recommendation for that thing, and what is the management schedule. So people who have been practicing the system, they did not bother, they didn't care about any of those things. They are all, these are all the agricultural research terms and the, if I may say, the green revolution paradigm. So we did a little analysis of this thing lately. Early this year, I published a paper with some of my friends, and that's published in the journal Agroforestry Systems. So and this actually this presentation is based on that. So we took about 40 systems that have been traces of which have been described in scientific literature, and this is just a listing of some of those systems that we revisited: the Khedri system in the arid parts of India, Rajasthan, the Chhattisgarh system also in another part of India, semi-arid. In the Pacific Islands, there are different types of agroforestry systems, and these are some examples of these systems that have been described in some sort of scientific manner, and therefore they appear in scientific literature. This can be accessed. And all these 40 systems that I referred to, they all are present in the literature, and many more are available. But we picked up just a few examples from different parts of the world. So there are this so-called global heritage system, which sort of incorporates many of the traditional systems of East Africa and Central Africa, like the Chaga system of Kilimanjaro area and all those things. So there are these different systems and many more. I told you 40 systems that we studied. And each one is unique. It is localized. It has got certain characteristics that are modified over generations by the social interactions with the people, interactions among the people with ecological attributes. So they are very, very interesting systems when you look at them actually that way. And based on this, we did a sort of qualitative SWOT analysis of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of these different agroforestry Cinderella systems. And this analysis, I would say, is based on the limited reports available in literature and numerous personal communications. Now, it's a little bit of interesting in the sense that on the one hand, these systems have not been described, and therefore they are not available in the literature. On the other hand, so then how do you do this sort of quantitative analysis? Well, there are some publications that I referred to that are available. Many of them are not according to a uniform pattern or anything, but something can be gleaned from them. And more than any of these things, we have the personal communications with a lot of people who are familiar with these things. So that's how this was done. And this is the traditional or the SWOT analysis presentation, the positive attributes on the left-hand side, the negative on the right-hand side, the internal, external, so strengths, weaknesses, strengths, opportunities, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, the SWOT. Many of those terms that are listed there are all well known to in the literature. Many of you know this, for example, sustainability. Okay. On each of these factors, multiple books and various activities are in multiple books and other publications have been produced, and various other activities are still going on. So all these terms are very familiar to all of us: multi-functionality, niche complementarity. With niche complementarity, I should take a few seconds to say that this is the fundamental scientific principle that sustains many of these traditional and modern multi-species mixes, because the sharing of resources will be maximized because of the niche complementarity in multi-species systems as opposed to single-species systems, which ecologists denigrate as ecological deserts or whatever. Then there are also these ecosystem services provided by these multi-species systems, socio-cultural and recreational values, traditional ecological knowledge. These are some of the terms that come out as the strengths of these different systems. And many of you know about the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment, the massive program undertaken by the United Nations. They have four categories of these ecosystem services, and if you put a checkbox in many of these indigenous systems, they all are ranked very high in all those types of attributes of ecosystem services. So what are the opportunities and threats? These again are very common. Many of these systems have very low levels of production. Research of any type has not been done in many of these things, and so what we call as technology has not reached many of these systems. And also the evaluation methodologies that we use in agricultural projects and scientific undertakings and all those things are, to some extent, they are biased because they cannot be applied to some of these systems. And also because of some of the problems that I mentioned earlier, there is no support from governmental or other development agencies. Because you know, if a donor wants to support some, give some money to a group of people or a country and all that, they wouldn't give it to looking at some of the, this sort of what some people might even call primitive systems and all that. It takes a lot of effort to convince the donors to get any money for any of those activities. So there has been practically no external support, funding support to study many of these systems. And also we had to recognize that there is also this prestige level and the generational perception of people, because many of these young people will say, okay, this is my grandfather's lifestyle. We don't want to go back into that sort of thing. So there are all sorts of stigmas and perceptions and all those things attached to these systems. And agroforestry research started with the recognition of importance of traditional systems. Over the years, it has drifted to the Green Revolution paradigm. High appreciation is given for improved and often imported technologies, and sometimes there is contempt and disdain for indigenous systems. But if we give a little bit of effort, attention to some of these downtrodden, unrecognized, unstudied systems, I think we can get some new ideas and to not only to improve those systems, but also to be applied to other situations where they could be used in the project design improvement activities. So that is my message. This is an opportunity when development partners are pushing for new approaches to working with communities. But there's a lot of emphasis on that, and this could fit in very well if somebody is interested. So that's my submission. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.